Nathan versus Mukasey. Mr. Sabatello.
May it please the court, my name is Kevin Sabatello on behalf of petitioner. This case involves an appeal of the BIA's denial of a motion to reopen based on a change of country conditions and file a successive asylum application. The BIA erred in this case when they held that the Immigration and Nationality Act does not provide an independent basis for the petitioner to file a successive asylum application. This was never the petitioner's argument. The petitioner readily concedes that a motion to reopen was required in this case, and indeed submitted such a motion, based on a change of conditions arising in China. The BIA focused on a change in petitioner's personal circumstances, namely the birth of her children in the United States. And while this is relevant to her ultimate eligibility for the relief of asylum, it was not the basis of the motion to reopen. The basis was a change in country conditions, particularly a marked increase in the use of forcible procedures to enforce the family planning law.
Now, had you argued sterilization to the administrative law judge?
In the original, are you talking about in the original hearing in 2001?
Well,
we are arguing that there has been.
Oh, I see. So what was violation of the one child policy an issue in that original?
I don't have the record from the original proceedings in front of me.
Because all the mostly what the immigration judge discussed then was her allegation that she'd been forced to have an abortion. That's dropped out, right?
Correct. We're not arguing anything from the original application. What we are arguing here is that she has a well-founded fear of future persecution, based on the fact now she has three children.
But how many children did she have when she left China?
One. And she has given birth to two children in the United States.
Okay, but why isn't that a change in personal conditions rather than country conditions?
That is a change in personal circumstances, and it is relevant to her ultimate eligibility for relief, but it was not the basis of the motion to reopen. The basis of the motion to reopen was a change in country conditions. Specifically,
but how is that change in country conditions separable from her having the children? I don't understand.
The change in country conditions is the basis of the motion to reopen. We are arguing that there has been a marked increase in the use of forcible sterilizations and forcible abortions in China, and that.
But that would be irrelevant if she hadn't had children in the United States, right?
That is correct. If she now has three children, so she will be a target for sterilization in China, whereas
she's
not
allowed to, as I understand, she can't reopen on the basis of a change in her personal conditions.
That's correct, but we're not arguing.
Come here, have children, extra children, and then complain that you can't go back to China, right?
That is correct, that the change in personal circumstances alone is not sufficient to warrant reopening of proceedings. But it is petitioner's argument that there has been a change in the enforcement of the family planning policy, which is now far more strict and indicates that were she to return to China, she would now very likely face forced sterilization.
No, I understand that part of your argument. I just wonder whether it is... But I guess the government can see. Does the government concede that if you establish changed country conditions, your client can stay?
It was the government's argument that the motion to reopen that the petitioner cannot reopen her proceedings based solely on changed personal circumstances.
That's
we concede
true.
That argument.
Yes. So what is the government arguing? Just that the conditions haven't changed? Is that all they're arguing?
Yes, the government is arguing that the conditions have not changed.
So the government acknowledges that if they've changed in the way you you argue then she has a good claim?
To reopen proceedings.
Right.
And the government is arguing that the evidence that we presented does not establish changed country conditions.
I understand that. I just want to make sure the only issue is whether there are changed country conditions.
Yes, we believe that is the only dispute.
Okay.
And we have submitted extensive evidence indicating that country conditions indeed have changed. For instance, we submitted portions of the 2005 and 2006 State Department country reports, which differ markedly from the 2000 report, which was the report introduced in the original hearing. For instance, the 2000 report contained language that indicated that the Chinese government was relaxing its enforcement of the one-child policy in the cities. And the 2005 report, that language is gone. The 2000 report also indicated that there was only one province in China that required sterilization. The 2005 report names at least 7 provinces, and the 2006 report even indicates that there have been reports of forcible sterilizations in the Fujian province, which is the province from which the petitioner hails. There is also in the 2000 report.
How old is she, your client?
She is. She's 40.
Because you said in your brief she's planning to have more children still.
Yes, she does. She does hope to have more children in the future.
And she and her husband, what kind of work do they do in the United States?
They work in the restaurant business.
Because I've heard that the Chinese don't enforce their one-child policy against, you know, rich people who go abroad and have children come back to China. I don't know.
Well, there's no evidence to suggest that that's the case.
Well, they're not rich, apparently. They're not upper class.
No, they're not particularly wealthy. Also, the BIA and the government has argued that there's no evidence that the policy would be enforced against couples who have children abroad and then return to China. In fact, we have a consular information sheet that we presented dated May 29th, 2003, which indicates that children born abroad will be considered Chinese citizens if those children return to China and are registered in the household.
And are what?
And are registered in the parents' household, which they will need to do in order for the children to go to school and receive social benefits. And the BIA did not even consider this evidence. Instead, they pointed to their decisions in matter of SYG, matter of JWS, matter of JHS, to say these documents that have been presented in this case are virtually the same as the documents the petitioner is submitting. There was another document also which the petitioner submitted. It was a note, it was a letter from her village committee, which indicates that in petitioner's village, the family planning policy is strictly enforced, in that for couples with more than one child, they will be targets for sterilization.
Okay, you want to save the balance of your time?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So, Mr. Leist.
May it please the Court, my name is Jeffrey Leist, appearing on behalf of the Attorney General. In this case, the Board did not abuse its discretion in finding that changed country conditions did not excuse the petitioners.
What I find puzzling about the Board's opinion is this reference to, I'm looking at second page of their opinion, middle paragraph at the bottom, that in response to this villager committee and that the respondent will be subjected to sterilization procedures, The board said the respondent has not provided evidence the policy is implemented through physical force or other means that would amount to persecution. What does that mean? Sterilization is a physical operation of some sort, right? You can't sterilize without
That's
application
correct.
Of physical force. So what are they talking about?
I think they're referring to the fact that the actual policy itself does not condone violence to achieve that end result.
Well, what's the alternative to violence?
Economic sanctions, things of that nature. Just, you know, asking them to comply with the regulations.
Well, what if they say to her, there's a, you know, $10,000 fine, and if you can't pay the fine, I'm sorry, you'll have to be sterilized.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
I mean, is it possible? Sure, but the letter that was submitted from the villagers' committee doesn't describe any of that. It just says, you know, we follow this particular...
Well, it says sterilization, right? They don't...
But, I mean, people...
You're saying it's irrelevant what the means of enforcing the sterilization rule is, whether it's by fining the person more than she can pay or actually hauling her off to a hospital, right?
Well, the issue, whether or not China has a law that requires sterilization does not mean that it is a forcible sterilization.
Well, I don't understand. What I don't understand their response to this villager. The villager committee says, comes back, she'll be sterilized.
Right.
And they say, well, no evidence policy implemented through physical force. And so you say, well, yeah, it could mean just a big fine, which would have the same effect. She'd have to be sterilized.
But
would that not be persecution if they fine people and say if you can't pay the fine, you have to be sterilized? That's not persecution? What's your view of that?
I think that may be persecution, but that's not what's before the court.
It may be persecution. You're not confident.
Well, I mean...
You're not confident of that.
All we have in front of us is the actual...
That's my question.
If
you're
the
not sure that it would be persecution if instead of putting the person in the hospital, you say you either pay the fine or you have to be sterilized.
I mean, there is law that says economic sanctions.
Is that persecution?
It could be persecution.
What do you mean could be persecution?
It depends on what
the
actual situation is. We're dealing with the...
Wouldn't it be persecution?
Wouldn't it be persecution? I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, we have in front of us the document that says, here's what we follow. We follow this strictly, but there's no indication that
follow a rule requiring sterilization strictly without sterilizing?
Well, I mean, if you look at the country reports, they say that the actual...
Not the country reports. Let's look at the response to the villager committee's statement by the board. I infer from this that the board disagrees with you. I think they think if you fine a person and say you can't pay the fine, you have to be sterilized, that they don't think that's persecution. They think that's not use of physical force.
And I think that that's what the board is saying. The board is saying, absent any indication that this policy...
I cannot understand that. You think, you're agreeing, the board doesn't think that if you coerce sterilization by a fine, that's not persecution.
I mean, that is what the board says.
But you don't agree with that.
I mean, that's the board's position on this issue.
You don't agree with that, right?
Whether or not I personally agree with it is not really the issue.
That doesn't make any sense, right? That's like saying, look, we burn heretics at the stake unless they pay $1 million fine. If they can't pay the fine, we burn them at the stake.
Right.
And you're saying the board's position is, well, that's not persecution because you're not implementing the rule against heresy by physical force. You're doing it by economic sanctions.
I believe that is what the board is essentially saying.
Does that make any possible sense in any universe?
I think that it makes sense if you look at it in terms of the record as a whole. The State Department reports say that actual use of physical force is extremely rare, and that instead of actually forcing...
Of course, if you say to people, look, you can go to the hospital and be sterilized, or you can pay $1 million fine.
Right.
So they go to the hospital and they're sterilized, so they don't have to be dragged there by the police. And that's not persecution?
I think that what the board
is... Is that not persecution?
I mean,
your view is that is not persecution?
In this case...
What is your view? That is not persecution.
That is the board's view. That
Is there any possible rational basis for that?
I think that the what they're referring to is that sterilization is not often enforced, whether by
force
or otherwise.
That's a completely different point. That's a different point. The question is, if you use economic sanctions to force people to undergo sterilization or other mutilation or other operations, is that persecution? Or is there this loophole which says the way you persecute people is first impose a huge fine and tell them if you can't pay the fine, very sorry, you'll have to be, you know, drawn and quartered or something like that. But if you pay the fine, you're home free. That's this tremendous loophole. Every persecuting government in the world can now adopt this principle, and then they don't have to worry about anybody being able to obtain asylum in the United States.
That is the board's decision on that issue.
How can you defend it? How can the Justice Department defend that?
I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you look at,
How can the Justice Department defend that position?
That particular.
I can see how you might defend the case on other grounds. I don't see how you can defend the position that as long as you say to a person, well, we're going to shoot you unless you pay us a big fine, right? And you say that's not persecution because that's enforcement of persecution by economic means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can the Justice Department defend that?
I honestly have not considered that issue before. So to make a statement on behalf of the Department of Justice defending all of these cases, I really don't know how to respond to that. The issue in this case is whether or not there's evidence of changed country conditions. And even looking at that particular document, there is no evidence that is actually a change in country conditions. Well, the document's dated 2006. There's no evidence this has not been the exact same policy for the past 10 years in China, particularly in this village.
And but your opponent says that the country reports from the more recent years indicate that China is tightening up again.
The department reports, they indicate that there has been, you know, that China's enforcement of this has been varied. It varies from time to time. It varies from state to state. It varies from town to town. If you look back at 2000, it's the same general concept as 2004.
Are you saying the country reports don't suggest that the policy has become tighter?
They say that it has in certain areas, but then it also still lacks in other areas, that there's no general countrywide mass enforcement of this policy. There's
a separate question whether, of course, it's not uniformly enforced. We know that. But the question is it on average worse now than it was in 2000?
Whether or not the policy is being on the increase in certain provinces, but not all the provinces. And I think
on average, is it increasing?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, they're saying that it's increased in certain provinces. Whether that's led to a decrease in other ones, I don't know.
Do the country reports say there are increases in some, decreases in others, no net change?
They say that the enforcement of it varies, and that varies from location to location, from time to time.
So you're saying if we compare the 2000 report with the 2006 report, there'll be no trend. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the.
Is that what you're saying? There'll be no trend. There's no trend.
I'd say that there's.
There's no trend. Is that what you're saying?
I would say that.
Or is there a trend?
There's maybe a trend into individual provinces increasing their enforcement of this, but whether or not that is
an overall national trend.
I don't know. I mean, if it's an individual province that's doing it, if that throws off the national balance, that may be. But the country as a whole, the country still does not condone physically forcing people to submit to these procedures. That the majority of the time it is not actual sterilization, but it's actual economic fines and things of that nature. But there's no government plan to force people to submit to the sterilization procedures. And if we look at the whether or not the State Department reports indicate that certain provinces are increasing, the fact of the matter is that unless you can show that you yourself are going to be subjected to this, that is not going to be sufficient. That I mean, even the document submitted from that the petitioner's hometown, it does not indicate that has particularly been enforced more in the past 10 years. Her original claim was that that she had one child in China, that she was pregnant with her second, and she feared being sterilized if she was returned to China. So the fear was already there in 2000. Whether or not her province has increased its number of doing this the record does not indicate that. The other piece of evidence which was included was an affidavit from the petitioner which stated that he had talked with his family and that his particular sister had said that there is an increase in their home province, and they cited the two different examples of couples who had been sterilized. One couple, they had one child in 2001, one in 2006. They were sterilized in 2006. The other couple had a child in 1995, I believe it was, or 1991 and 1995, and then they had been sterilized. There was no date for the second sterilization. So whether or not this is actually a government enforcement of this policy, or whether it's, the State Department report sporadic incidences of abuse. So unless there's actually an increase, the petitioner actually will face the likelihood of being subjected to these procedures if she returns, she cannot demonstrate that changed country conditions actually exist in China.
What would she have to do? Would she have to have a reasonably contemporaneous statistical base, let's say the prior 6 months? What would be the threshold needed to establish that in the area she was returning to, that the policy was or was not being enforced?
I'd rather not kind of give the petitioners the keys to the kingdom, but I think that you would have to have some kind of indication that from a previous time till now there has been a marked increase by the government in this particular in this province, I would say, in this area. There's been a marked increase in the use of force, or in the requiring people to be sterilized if they fit the petitioner's particular condition. Absent that, there's no evidence this is actually a changed country condition.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Leist. Mr. Sabatello, how much time? A minute? Anything further?
I would just like to note that the most significant change in country conditions since 2001 was a population and family planning law that took effect on September 1st, 2002, which took a previous policy and gave it the effect of law. And since then, as we've seen from the more recent State Department country reports, there has been a marked increase in the use of forcible procedures. One particular change I want to highlight as regards the economic sanctions. The 2000 report indicated that fines were only as high as 5 times the per capita annual income, and now the reports indicate that they may go as high as 10 times.
Let me ask you a question. So Mr. Leist said there's no indication from this Villager Committee report that of any change. But on the other hand, I notice it says, doesn't it, that Response Village strictly enforces the population and family planning ordinance in Fujian province. Is that a reference to this 2002 law? Or is it something that Fujian has always had, or do we not know?
There has been a policy in place even since before 2000.
Oh, of course.
But the 2002 law has done is it has increased the enforcement. Now there are
quotas. But is this reference to the population and family planning in Fujian province, is this a reference to that law, or is this something that they've always had?
It is a reference to the Fujian province's own enforcement of that law,
of the 2002 law.
What happened in the 5 years between the BIA and motion to reopen? What legal proceedings have been done?
As regards petitioner, there haven't been any. There was a BIA appeal that was dismissed in 2002,
right.
And then the next would have been this motion to reopen.
So for 5 years, there was no action taken against the petitioner?
There was no action taken until the petitioner began to learn of the increased enforcement and what was happening in her own village.
Was she just on parole or something? Hadn't she been ordered?
She had been ordered removed.
But it just wasn't
enforced?
Correct.
She wasn't hiding, was she?
No, there was no bag and baggage letter issued, so she wasn't a fugitive.
It's just the regular delays of the system.
Correct.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.